WKBK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. We gather together in the name of our Lord today to celebrate on a high Sunday in our church. This Sunday we celebrate a Holy Trinity Sunday, where we recognize that God reveals himself in the scriptures as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet one God now and forever. And we receive his gifts this morning together, worship and adore him. And we're blessed to have you with us as well this morning. Thank you for coming. We also welcome those who are tuned in on the radio today. Thanks for joining us for our service as well. We are blessed to be together. And this morning, we'll begin our service with our processional hymn. That's hymn number 506 in your hymnal. Glory be to God the Father. And as we do, we invite the congregation to stand and turn towards the back of the sanctuary and face the cross as we process towards the altar this morning. So let's begin with our opening hymn, 506, Glory be to God the Father. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ. And by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit from Psalm 16. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown mercy to us. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity in the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him, because he has shown mercy to us. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this Holy Trinity Sunday comes from Isaiah's prophecy in the 6th chapter. Here, this is the account of Isaiah witnessing the glory of the Lord in the temple and his calling as well. We begin in verse 1 of chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our second reading this morning from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David said concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken.' Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand at this time as we sing our Alleluia verse and as the cross comes to the center of the nave. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We sing hymn 498, "Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed," and after the cross is returned to the altar, you may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In the book of Proverbs, the scriptures say to us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is the very center of what Jesus is doing with Nicodemus this morning in our reading. Nick comes to Jesus by night saying, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Already Nick has it backwards with the first statement. So Jesus goes on to tell him how heaven works. Through the analogy of birth, he chooses. But it not only confuses Nicodemus, he asks, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? What is Nicodemus missing here? Well, I'd say the same thing we are. Listen closely to his words again. He says, we know. We know that you're a teacher come from God. He's working with what he knows as he approaches his Lord and God. And what he knows is that to serve God is to know what to do and to do it, to be obedient. He's a Pharisee. He's a leader and teacher of the Jews, this Nicodemus. And he's used to earning it with God. But then Jesus says to him this, you must be born again. What does being born have to do with obedience? Nothing. Jesus' answers take Nicodemus beyond himself, further than he's ever gone. Beyond what he knows, Jesus takes Nicodemus to another place. This place, this morning for the sermon's sake anyways, we'll call listening to God. Listening to God is a beautiful, peaceful place where there's no fears, no anxiety, no real lasting worries at all. Where we're purely passive. Where we're born of God. Passive because we were there when we were born of Him, but we contributed absolutely nothing to that birth. If you want to know how this works, you know, just look around here and ask a mom. Because a mom can tell you exactly how birth works. They're not confused about it. They did the work to bring you into the world. Birth. Listening to God is a place where you can know nothing and still believe. A place where God does the work, and so we exist and believe by His will and not by our own. Listening to God, this is where Jesus wants to take you and me this morning as well. To this place where we can simply listen to Him instead of always having to know. Yeah, there's a distinction between those two things. Now, as Christians, we'll often say, I know that place, that listening to God place. I hope you do know it. But what we find is that most people, even Christians, spend most of their time in another place. For the sake of the sermon this morning, we'll call that place what we know. That's where we spend a lot of time in our hearts and minds, in the land of what we know. You read your Bible? How do you read? Most search to make sense out of what they read, which is good. But we have to ask, what does it mean to make sense out of something? What does it mean? can only mean to compare whatever we see with something that we already know. That's what it means. At its base, understanding, to know something, is simply a comparison for us. I can give you an example of this. Your friend comes up to you and he says, "Hey, the other day I was riding in the back of an old pickup truck down a dirty road and there was lots of dust." Do you understand that? Sure, right? Maybe you've done that. And you know even the smell, you know it intimately, the smell of that dust on the road and everything that goes along with a bumping truck and everything that happens. But even if you haven't had that experience, you know what a truck is and you know what a road is, a dirt road and dust and these kinds of things. So you can say, "I understand." But if you'd never seen any of those things at all, instead of saying, "Yeah, I understand," we'd say what? "I don't get it. What are you talking about? I'm not sure what all this means." This is how our minds work, friends. This is how we understand things, how we know things. It means we have a referent or a comparison, and then we can say, "Oh yeah, I know." That's really all it means, actually, to us. When Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again, what does Nicodemus do? His mind immediately goes to its only referent, its only comparison: natural birth. Thus we have his confused statement about how can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. He's used to being active in his faith. See, he's not used to this passive stuff. So he answers finally, as we read through the lesson in verse 9, how can these things be? He's being introduced to grace. He's being introduced to grace. And he has no referent. He has no comparison to the things which Jesus says to him. Or he doesn't understand, he doesn't know. The same thing happens to us. Sometimes when we read our Bible, we're reading and we're searching the catalog of our mind almost on autopilot so that we can know or understand what we're reading. But the fact is, what Jesus does, what God does for us in the Bible, is often teach us things of heaven, which take us beyond what we know. For example, today, Holy Trinity Sunday, the scriptures declare that God is one God. That's Deuteronomy 6. But they also declare that he revealed himself and exists in three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we especially realize this today. Each person of the Trinity is unique, but each are all simultaneously one God. Not dividing the substance, nor commingling the persons. For this, we have no referent on earth. We have no comparison for this. There's a popular one that goes like this: "Oh, well, it's like water, ice, and steam." No, it's not. Can one molecule of H2O be fully equal to another molecule at the same time and exist still in its own unique form? Nope. Believe it or not, that's an ancient church heresy called modalism that was condemned by the church at a council in the 4th century. And yet it's all over the Christian world today, people making this comparison or a referent to how to understand the Trinity, to how to know, to make the same mistake that Nicodemus made when he showed up to Jesus that day, saying, "This is what we know." I only say this to show how we seek to know anything at all. We look for comparisons to what we know already. But Jesus is taking Nicodemus, catch us if you can, beyond himself. in this way. And he's also taking us beyond ourselves in the same way this morning. He wants to take us from the land of what we know to the land of listen to God. And this is a strange thing to say, okay? It sounds weird. But he wants to take you back. Back? Yes, back. He wants to take you back to what it means to truly be who you are. To actually be, told you to sound weird, human again. Or in Jesus' words, born again. See, the Bible defines humanity very differently than we do. The Bible will define it this way. Apart from how we define it, we'll say, well, to be human is really, you know, what distinguishes us from the animals, right? To have reason. That's usually the definition we hear. Here's how the Bible defines it. One who listens to God. Think of Adam and Eve. The devil took them in Genesis 3 from that beautiful land of listening to God to the terrible, fearful world of what we know. His temptation was to deceive them into knowing something other than what they heard from God. This led them into the clutches of sin and death. And brothers and sisters in Christ, it's the same for us. What we think we know, like Nicodemus, Jesus is going to have to take us beyond that land to another where we must be born again and become what we were always intended to be in Christ. Because guess who is the only one who's really a human? Jesus. He said it in John 5. He said, the Son can do nothing by himself, but only what he sees the Father doing. Did you realize that? Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, gives us humanity in its purest form. Its purest form. Like Adam and Eve before the fall, humans are those who listen to God. We call humans now, we define it by ourselves, oh surprise. Sinners are, so to speak, a degraded form of what we were created to be. So Jesus comes, begotten of the Father. He comes into our world, born human, dies for us, rises on the third day, ascends into the heavens, sends us the Holy Spirit so we can be born again by faith into what we were created to be in the first place. Truly human. Those who listen to God. See, the Bible, the Word of God, becomes our referent, becomes our comparison. Our life, the very Word of God, it needs no degraded human comparisons in order that we could know it. It becomes the comparison itself. It's its own referent. This is how the Holy Spirit works, friends. He gives us that comparison. The ancient church fathers put it this way. They said, we interpret Scripture with Scripture. It's its own referent. It's its own comparison. It means stop trying to be like Nicodemus and saying, we know about God. And thinking that anything that has to do with our relationship with him is based on our knowledge. Yuck, throw it, flush it. Jesus did it. It's not about our experience and proving whether or not it's something's true in the Bible. That's not how this works at all. We got to quit trying to be greater humans. It won't work. Through our works and our actions, always trying to gain something with God. No, Jesus told Nick, we must be born again. And that doesn't have anything to do with anything that we do, friends. That's something that God does through the Word, born from above. And then we can finally, and you're thinking, Pastor, finally, yeah, finally start listening to God. God says about the bread and the wine up on the altar this morning, this is my body. This is my blood. That's what Jesus himself said. We know that. Some struggle with that. They say, well, it looks like bread. It looks like wine to me. So they teach false things about it. They say it's only a representation of Jesus. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood. It's like they have to change what Jesus says in order to what? Get a reference, get a comparison, say they know. Guess what? It's like in order to agree with Jesus, we have to know. I thought we were dealing with God here. We are. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That was the proverb that we began with this morning. It's the bread and the wine. It is Jesus. Why? How? Because God says it is. Same reason there's light. He said, let there be light. And there was light. He gives us, too. This is the beautiful thing about the scripture. He gives us a referent. But he doesn't give it to us necessarily to understand the sacrament or to say, I know what the sacrament is, like old Nick, in our experiences. But instead, guess where he gives us the referent? In the Word of God. It's its own comparison. It's its own referent. In the Passover, when the Israelites are getting ready to head out of their bondage and off to the Promised Land, and they eat the lamb of the Passover while the blood is up on the doorposts and lintels of their house. It's the body and blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Another one real quick. The Bible says God is in control of all things, doesn't it? But we struggle to say we know this. Why do we struggle? Well, we sometimes doubt that that's even true, don't we? Because it doesn't make sense when something bad happens or when we see bad things happening all around us and we think that we know what a good God is and that's not what we're seeing in our experience, in our world of comparisons and reference. That's not what we're noticing. So we say, I don't know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. God says he's in control of this, so even though we don't have a worldly comparison or a degraded form of referent, he is. We just can't understand how. And surprise, surprise, right? He's God. You're not. That's the equation. I'm not. That's why we can't always understand how. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And guess what? God's already given you a referent to understand that. You know what it is? Not necessarily in your experiences of your life, but from the scripture. He's talking about baptism. First about Jesus' baptism and then about even ours. He's already given us what we need to understand. I've got one more and then I'm done. Ourselves. Trying to understand, to say we know ourselves as we look in to ourselves, as we look in the mirror, as we peer even into our own hearts in reflection and self-examination before we come up to take the sacrament, what do we find? If we're honest, we find sin. We find that we're not living up to what God's word says, that we're not keeping the Ten Commandments, that we're not doing all of this stuff right. And sure, we could spin it and justify it and say, well, there's a good reason, you know, just like Adam did when he said, well, it was the woman that you gave me. He blamed Eve. We have our reasons too. But the reality is that if we're honest by God's Spirit and his word, that we have sinned. that we've done things, said things that we shouldn't, that we've left things undone that we should have done, and that there's none righteous, no, not one. Like it says in Romans 3, that apart from Christ, all we'll see in us is sin. So we end up with plenty of reference, comparisons to know, I sinned. But what does God say? Remember, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. When he says this, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. But don't we go looking for comparisons in our own lives there? And doesn't the devil love to play with that and say, oh, well, look at this comparison. Are you sure you're forgiven? Would God really forgive you for that? Over and over and over, that same sin? And you keep going back to a why. Why? Are you sure? Get out of what we know, old Nick, right? And get in to listening to God. He says, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Need a referent for that? Jesus, hanging on the cross, died for you and for me. So next time, your mind, and I'm talking to myself here too, just so you know, the next time our minds start running away with what we know, and you can't sleep, you know that one? You're laying in bed and all you want to do is go to sleep. But you can't. Why? Because your mind's running and running and running with what you know. The fears, the insecurities, the anxieties. Remember Nicodemus. Listen to God. What does he say? He says, cast all your cares upon me. He says, look at the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. God cares for them. Have no anxiety, he says. Do not be anxious about anything. Listening to God. This is what it means to be human. This is what it means to be Christian. This is what it means to be free. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, we're gathered here on Holy Trinity Sunday, as we've said, and on Holy Trinity Sunday in the Lutheran Church is the Sunday that we recite the Athanasian Creed, and we have the creed printed for you in the bulletin, although this year we have it printed responsively, so we invite the congregation to join us now in confessing our faith in the Triune God to the words of the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever desires to be saved will without doubt perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, in the persons, for life and substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated,
in the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three Lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the right thing that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, begotten, not of the same time, both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into the flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the right faith, whoever does not believe the faith of the faith of the cannot be saved.
We continue with our prayers of the church. Almighty and most merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies. Implant your word in us. With good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially Joseph, our president, Jared, our governor, and the legislature of this state of Colorado, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and peace. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity. We especially name before you this morning from the altar the Mitsukami family, Kip McCormick, the family of Vicky Krizen, Bill Van Giesen, William Tanner, Emily Johnson and her family, John Brownell, Ava Hoffman, Leonard V. Hill, Sean Austin, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that are on our hearts this morning. Lord, grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their affliction in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all earthly calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help. Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give us success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Bless our graduates that we celebrate this morning, Lord, our school board, our teachers and staff, that they may have a restful summer break from their duties. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls, and all our talents together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him and in his kingdom. These and whatever other things you would have us ask of you, O Lord, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We have an exciting event be witness to this morning and to receive a new family into our membership here at Trinity. This family is Brandon and Kelly Mueller and their family. Brandon and Kelly, would you come forward this morning? Face the congregation with me. Super blessed to have these two wonderful people here at Trinity with us. We're grateful for the faith that God has given to you both and also your fellowship with us through the gospel here in the faith of the Lutheran Church. We'll receive them by transfer and profession of faith here through this rite. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? If so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, say, yes, I renounce him.
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? If so, say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you hold all prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true? If so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
You intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death. If so, say, I do by the grace of God.
Do
you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you? If so, say, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation, Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We face the altar for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your son and your daughter, and their children Hayden and Madeline, to the knowledge of your son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with heart to believe and with mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit they may continue steadfast in the one true faith and the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Wonderful. The grace of the Lord go with you. And we're happy to have Brandon and Kelly here with us this morning and to see those members. You guys are done. Thank you. I'm sure we'll have a chance to greet them officially and welcome them and congratulate them after our service is concluded. At this time, we pause for just a moment to say goodbye to those who've been listening on the radio. We thank you for joining us this morning and wish you the Lord's blessings. And now we come to the point in our service where our offerings are collected and presented to the altar this morning. As the offerings are collected and as they're being brought up, we invite the congregation to turn to hymn 571 and sing, God loved the world so that he gave. Let's sing together.
Been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Sirens sounded in Tel Aviv today as the city came under a Hamas rocket attack. Police say four girls between the ages of 9 and 17 watching a movie Saturday evening at an AMC theater in Braintree, Massachusetts, when a man wearing a blonde wig rushed into the theater without paying, stabbed the girls without warning. Witness Mateo Rojas.
They were in a daze, needless to say, very traumatized and definitely wanted to have their privacy head down, but at least they were talking and were engaged with the EMT, so that was relieving to see.
The suspect in custody may be linked to two stabbings at a McDonald's in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and a homicide in Connecticut. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has accepted a nomination to be among those vying to be the Libertarian Party's presidential candidate, who will be chosen this afternoon at the Libertarian National Convention in Washington. A day after the PGA Tour announced that 30-year-old golfer Grayson Murray died, his family announcing the cause of death, suicide. This is ABC News.
The hours just fly by when the country's this good. Now, more KSBK Country.